But let me speak about the, let's recap just a little bit and then finish off the Tumor discussion, and we'll speak about Nadarim. And then, actually, try to remind me before we leave, I'll give you a few Mar Makomos on Chulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, and a few things on Cherev Harei Kechalol. Then I want to do, those are the next two things I want to do quickly, and then we'll speak about Sakin Shal Shchita, and then I'm going to get back after that, because I just don't want to interrupt. I'll speak also a little bit about Pirchos, Mefar Cheses. And then we're, after that we'll go more quickly, because the Gemaras go more quickly. Okay. Okay. Basically, what we were doing on Sunday, as we were trying, I was trying to suggest that there are three models of Tulavin. I just want to get back to that quickly. In other words, there are three different types of configurations of Tulavin, which in theory are based on different ideas, and there could be important nafkamina. The first one is the one where we're expanding the definition. We're not so much interested in a second mechayiv. We're not necessarily focused on adding chomer to the iser by virtue of there being a second azhara, but what looks like a second azhara is really a way of expanding the first azhara. And I suggested that that could be the pshat in the Gemara in Tmura, Daf Tes Omer Aleph, where the Gemara says, Shalom and Shalchaveiro. Daniel, where is Daniel? There he is. Wrote me a letter. I just didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. It was a long letter. But I read it very quickly, so I mean, I'm sympathetic. Suggesting that just because we expand an existing lav doesn't mean that in the expansion we don't also reflect a different mechayev. I totally agree, and I was going to suggest that approach later as well. I didn't have a chance to focus on some of the pratims. I'm not sure if we're saying exactly the same thing, but in theory, when you expand cases, it's quite possible that expanding cases does reflect a different, or you're only able to expand because by expanding you're really transforming. In other words, had the law been understood in a particular way, then it couldn't have been expanded. So it isn't just a Xeris HaKasa to tell you the case covers X and Y. It covers X and Y, and therefore the law itself is a different law, or maybe there are two law. So that is definitely very, very possible. The Pashtus, I'm just going according to the simple reading of the Gemara in Tesamat Aleph, we'd have to explain always, the challenge would be on us to explain why expanding a case constitutes a different mechayev, and either I'll try to say something about that, or I'll let Daniel give you his theory. Hopefully, before we end our discussion. But for the moment, certainly there can be the model where the Torah is simply megale that we are expanding the case. I also said the other day, and I hold by this, that it's possible that expanding the quantity of cases, in addition to the possibility that sometimes signifies a different mechayev, may also signify added chozek or chomer ha'iser. Because we always have to ask ourselves, why did the Torah choose this particular method of expanding the definition? Right? Surely it could have written the pasuk in many cases. It could have written the psukim in such a way as to signify at the outset that the lab includes the following scenario. If it doesn't, and instead it does that only by limud, by having two labin, is it possible that it's trying to accomplish two things? Number one, it's trying to expand the cases, and number two, either what Daniel was suggesting, which is absolutely true, namely, it's implying that there are also two mechayvim, and that's why you can have an expansion. Or maybe it's not so terrible to waste the ink on an extra azhara in order to establish this expansion, because you want to be mechazek, you want to be able to accentuate the chomer of this particular reason. So I think of that as possible too. Having said that, the model of two psukim just to add cases to be megala milsa is still something which I think stands in its own right. Each case you'd have to ask whether there's more than one reason. but it would stand in its own right as well. Now, that first model, basically, if we were to ignore the other two elements, meaning the Makayev aspect and the Chozak aspect, basically would mean that there's the perception of two Isurim, but it really, substantively, is one. Because, again, if we don't have these other ulterior motives or additional motives, basically we're talking about one single Isur with one single character, and so on, and which is no more chomer than anything else, but the Torah needed to be marbe. Okay, that's one perspective. The other perspective is kefel l'shem chizuk v'chomer, which means that basically we're not talking about different mechayvim, we're just talking about the Torah telling you, the Ramban says this in a number of places, Rashi says it in some places, because I'll say it explicitly, but dam and other such things, like why does the Torah keep mentioning dam again and again and again? Because A, it's a trap that a lot of people can fall into, B, it's very, very chomer. Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah speaks about this in terms of Shabbos and Bris Milah. Right? Why does the Torah continuously speak about Isurei Shabbos and so many different parshios? So important, and it's so chomer. So this idea of Kefel, L'shem, Chozek, V'chomer makes a great deal of sense. The question here would be, when you have Kefel, L'shem, Chozek, V'chomer, do we look at it as one and one, or do we look at it as two? Meaning, so should we look at the double Isur as a double Isur, or as two Isurim, L'shem, Chozek? Now that sounds like it's pretty like a Telzer Chakira. What does that mean? So obviously what I have in mind is the Shagas Aryeh and the Mishnah Melech. Namely, can you target, if you have two, and the Shem Chozek, can you target even one of them, or do they go together? In which case, two always beats one. Two beats one, but one and one, also will beat one, but there'll be a casualty along the way. So that's a question that still needs to be discussed. And then the third option of kefalavin is two mechayvim. And I think that there are two types here as well, as I said before. One is two mechayvim with nafkamina. I mean, they're reflected lahalacha. You can have cases of one without the other. As I said, when it comes to Essen and Lavin, you have similar type of questions. Yeruchim Fisher Perlo would say from its Reb Sajagon always claims Reb Sajagon will never ever count on a Sein Alav if there's not enough Gemina. Personally, I don't think his arguments are always so convincing. I think it'd be great if you have enough Gemina to highlight, but I think if there are two Mechayvim, there doesn't always have to be a tangible Naf Gemina. Two Mechayvim might mean two perspectives, even if they really truly always overlap. And a Sein Alav would be an obvious there would be an obvious toelis to that, to say that, number one, you're doing something wrong, and number two, the Rishon LeZion yesterday said that, we don't, was dismissing the view that Harisha for the Rambam and Hilchos Shemitah might be part of the Aseh and not part of the Lav. So he said, because Me'olam lo matzinu, that, that you have an Aseh and a Lav, and that the Aseh is more expansive than the Lav. But and that is certainly a point of view. But of course, the Ramban doesn't hold that way in his famous view of the Mitzvah Seh of Shabbos, which we've spoken of many times. Ramban thinks that there are cases that are drabanan, like Shavuos and other such things, which come under the rubric of the Aseh of under the Aseh of Shabbos. That's, of course, the famous view of the Ramban. And ironically, it may be the view of the Rambam as well, because the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Shabbos does seem to say that the Aseh and the Lav overlap, but the Rambam in Perek Chaf Aleph Hilchos Shabbos says that Shvusim, seems to say that Shvusim are included in the Aseh of Shabbos. The Nosa Kalim there just wonder whether that's on a Smachta B'Almo, even though it doesn't sound that way, or did he anticipate the Ramban before the Ramban anticipated the Ramban? Anyways, my point being that that's basically, he was assuming yesterday, and it is definitely a view of many Rishonim in many cases, that an Aseh and a Lav on the same subject matter are basically kefel. And there's no nafkamina, and there's no point other than lechazek as hadavar. But sometimes we do find that there are important nafkamina, and I think it depends on each and every category. Ramban, again, in Shabbos being the prime example. But what I would say is that even in a situation where there's no nafka mina, it's not only there necessarily lechazek, it's there to underscore two perspectives. The essay and the lab of Shabbos being a great example. Meaning, even if there were no nafka mina, the point would be that there's a maisa aveira. Moreover, when you do the maisa aveira, in addition to the maisa aveira part, you've also trampled upon the opportunity and the mitzvah of Shabbos. You've also violated the spirit of the day. There are two different ideas. We've spoken about this in the past. Again, Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo thinks you always need a nafka mina. I think in the Rambam, certainly, and even in Rav Sajagon, it's possible you don't. You need two mechayvim, two themes. So if there is... I'm sorry?
Rambam, the same thing. The expanded Ruchem Zalata.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say that because in principle it can't be other way, but right. That's a good example where he thought that the assay was more expansive than the... was less, more or less, depending on the case. And actually, Ruchem Fishel Perlo also, for Sefer Mitzvot Sajagon, that it isn't identical to Nevela. That's unlike the Tosas and Shuas and the Prima Gadim and all those who said that maybe the Raivit, even in the Ramban, who thought that the assay of Zavachta is just a lechizuk and lechomer of Nevela, right? Rabbi Ramban Rambam and Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo for Rabbi Sajagon was arguing that no, they're different, they're totally different, different theory completely. Yeah, I'm just saying. So there are two. Getting back to the two labim situation, there are two labim where there really are nafka mina. That's obvious that we're dealing with different mechayvim, and there are. I think Daniel wants to say something like that for Gemara and Daf Tesam and Aleph, right? And there are two lavin where maybe there's absolutely no nafka mina, but that doesn't detract from the fact that there are two mechayvim. Now, when you have an asay and a lavin, they're mirror images of each other, but there are two mechayvim, and the one emphasizing the lost opportunity, the other emphasizing the maisa aveir, but it just so happens that the conditions are the same for both. But we understand that because one's an asay and one's a lav. It's more difficult to explain when you have two lavin. Right? Why? What's the point if there's no nafka mina? What do you mean by two mechayvim? So that's why I gave the example the other day of Bayiro Bayimatze. I think it is a very good example, namely that according to the way the Rambam speaks about Bayiro Bayimatze, it sounds like he thinks that there should have been a nafka mina, but that lamaisa there isn't one. You know, and what I mean by should have been a nafka mina is, in other words, they really address different points. One addresses the way that you are relating to being influenced by encountering chametz on Pesach, lo yiroeh, right, and lo yimatze, relating more to on the bailus level to your responsibility to have your reshus devoid of chametz. Just that the Rambam ends up saying in Sefer HaMitzvos very clearly, and it's also pretty clear in Yad HaChazaka, that every time you have one, you're going to end up having the other. I understood that to mean that one triggers the other. In other words, you know, in the end, if you own something, so then not getting rid of it on chametz is also viewed as having a certain kind of relationship with it on chametz. And when it comes to chametz, having a relationship or certain kind of relationship with it ends up being a responsibility bailus kind of problem too. So that lemaisa, every time you have one, you'll have the other. And nonetheless, there really are two different concepts. Now, if you have two different... I'll take a question just one more second. But if you have nafka mina, so then it's obvious, is what I'm saying. When you have two mechayvim and there's no nafka mina, so then it's less obvious. But what I'm suggesting is that the combination still works differently than the two chomers, and certainly the two just that just expand. Yeah.
If body right and body matzah is about one triggering the other,
yeah,
then wouldn't it be if the assay is there and it affects the trigger, then you wipe out both altogether and then you shouldn't get mangled at all?
You're asking about lavanitic assay.
Yeah.
Hold on one more second. So let me just now get to the three. Since I was running on Sunday, I just want to expand this a little bit. You're asking about specific. What will the impact of lavanitic assay be?
I'm asking on Rebbe Svara about trigger. Meaning, if you're going to
Oh, I hear what you're saying. I mean, if there are two mechayvim, but there are still two mechayvim that always go together, So will lav hanitak, you're asking me whether lav hanitak, whether the nitak la ase.
The ase affects the lav that has the other lav novea from it. If the lav that triggers, if you affect that with the ase, don't you wipe out a bone altogether?
No, I don't think so, not necessarily, because I don't mean that it's the effect of the lav that triggers the other. It is the fact that it is usur. I don't mean it, let me put it this way, I hear exactly what you're saying. If it was the demerit on your record, okay, that triggered the other demerit, then I think you'd be right. But the way I'm explaining that one triggers the other, it's not the fact that you have a lav on your record. It is the iser and the avera and the, you know, the relationship itself that triggers the other one. It isn't the fact that, you know,
not really cause and effect.
What?
They're not really cause and effect.
Right. I mean, there is a cause and effect in the circumstances. Every time you are improperly doing yiroah, it's going to be defined as a yimatze too. That's really what I'm saying. And every time you improperly do yimatze al pidin, that's part of the expanded definition of yirah. But it doesn't require the technical violation for that. It's the maisa. And therefore, I would stop short of what you just said. Had it been the actual result of lav, as opposed to the maisa vera, then I would hear what you're saying. I think it's a good point. Okay, now. Having said that, so we have now three types of lav, and which again, the first type in particular, we agree might end up being also the second and the third, but we're keeping them separate for the moment. And now we want to apply it to three different issues very quickly. Again, one is minyan mitzvos, the other is malchus, and the third is lav hanitak lase when there are two lav. So on minyan mitzvos, we know in general that there's a debate between the rishonim. If you have multiple azharos in the Torah, whether or not you count them for minyan mitzvos, and that is shoresh. Oh, there you are. Okay, and that is shoresh chi. Right, that's the Rambam who says that. It's kind of ironic, actually. Yeah.
Can I go back to this and we can just talk about it?
Sure.
About what Rabbi was saying about two different themes being at play in two different lava. Could it be that even though one is not technically over on Valyera, if they're walking in the street and see chametz in the store that they don't own, could it be that there's still some sort of idea that we're not even really supposed to lay eyes?
That's an interesting hashkafic question. I mean, halachically, obviously, seeing chametz on Pesach is not a problem at all. Because we don't view that as an encounter or rotza b'kiyumo, because it's somebody else's chametz and it's not, you know, connected to us at all. If you ask on a pure, like, is there any lechatchila, like, you know, to avoid the presence of chametz, I think one could make the argument that, you know, the Torah uses that expression. If Mikra uses the expression lo yira'eh, you know, maybe, you know, al-pidin, that's just too loose, you know, too removed to be, you know, actually triggering an avera or malchus or anything of that sort, but the principle is still there. Maybe. Or you could say, no, I mean, if it's so diluted, you know, it doesn't even, you know, constitute a problem. But I think one could at least raise the question. Okay. So minyan mitzvos, so we have this discussion in Shoresh Tesh. Ironically, I say this because we spent a little time on the parallel question, which is Shoresh Vav. Ironically, the Rambam and the Ramban actually flip on these issues, right? In Shoresh Vav, the Rambam was saying, whenever you have an asein alav, you should count them. And the Ramban was saying in Shoresh Vav that it's an Isra Se, you know, if all it really is an Isra Se, which mimics the asay, it's the mimics the lav itself, then it shouldn't get counted separately. We discussed this about simane trei, simane kashrus, and all sorts of other things. So there the Ramban was the limiting one, and the Rambam was the expansive one. When it comes to two lavin, it's exactly the opposite. There the Rambam is the one who insists that we don't count, and the Ramban says, well, if they're two psukim, you should count them. And that doesn't bother me. I just think it's very interesting. Okay, we can understand it. I mean, I think we can understand it from both perspectives. You know, the it's more superfluous when you have, you know, two of the same. If you have an asay and a lav, you can always say what I said before, which is, yeah, one is mitzad akiyum and the other is mitzad hamaisa aveira. And from another point of view, if you really think that it isn't a kiyum, then all it is, all it can be, if it's not a kiyum asay, is just a way to, you know, to add a little chomer to the lav. So I can see both the Rambam and the Ramban, but they go opposite on that issue. So the point is that in minyan mitzvos there is this general question. But having said that, and I think it's consistent, the Rambam in Tmura only counts one. He doesn't count lo yachli tanu v'lo yamir. He counts only one. Bal Yirah, the Rambam counts two, right? Both in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos. But as we explained, the Rambam's Shoresh test now needs to be qualified. Namely, if the Torah repeats B'lashon Azhara, but it doesn't signify two Mechayvim, so then the Rambam says you don't count them twice. But if indeed the Rambam, as the Kesem Mishnah understood, just some Achronim were just perplexed, they said, well, that sounds right, except how can the Rambam says explicitly that you whenever you violate one, you violate the other? Again, they didn't accept or think of this trigger theory, which I'm putting forward. But the point is that if you do believe in the trigger theory, so now we understand very well that Bayra Bayimatzah is an exception to Shorish tests for very good reasons. Shorish tests is when it's redundant and superfluous. Having said that, what would the Ramban say about category number one? Namely, let's say the only reason that we have two lavin is not because of two mechayvim and not even because of chomer v'chizuk. I'm assuming that in chomer v'chizuk, the Rambam says you count them once, and the Ramban says you count them twice. But what would the Ramban say about, just as the Rambam may make an will make an exception to category number three, will the Ramban make an exception for category number one? Namely, where you're just expanding. I'm not 100% sure, but logically, he should. Because basically, we're not talking about the Torah being mazir twice, we're just talking about the Torah using this as a mechanism to expand the meaning of the Azhara. Unless, again, two things are taking place at the same time. Yeah? Say that again, one more time.
When Ramban says, I'm not Jewish,
yeah.
When the lavas are just at a moment, you don't count it twice, you only count it once. So the makos don't go based on counting, the makos go based on repetition of what?
I mean, the chalik between the minyan and the malchus.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. That's absolutely correct. Okay. Right. Now, as I say, with regard to the second question, the malchus question, you're right. You might be mechalik in either direction. The first issue is minyan and mitzvah. Second issue is malchus. So here, of course, we have in our sugya. We have a prime example where lo yach l'tanu v'lo yamir, according to the first day in Tosfos and Tmura, is two malchios, and according to our Tosfos and the second day in Tosfos and Tmura is one malchus. So, and the Rambam also makes perfectly clear that there's only one malchus. So some people suggest that the 2 days in Tosfos are simply a reflection of the Rambam and Ramban debate. Namely, we have Kefal Halabin, L'chizuk L'chomer. Do you get two Malkios or one? That's first day of Tosfos and Tmura is like the Ramban. Second day of Tosfos and Tmura is along the lines of the Rambam. And I think that's, recall seeing it somewhere, that's how the Kiddushi Agriz understood the two deos in Tosfos and Tmura. But of course, in light of what we're suggesting, it's possible that that's not the machlokas at all. But that the machlokas is that the first day in Tosfos and Tmura thinks that we're not dealing with chozek, the chizuk rather, the chomer alone, but that we're dealing with two mechayvim. In other words, just as the Rambam agrees in Vayra Bayimatzeh that you'll count them twice, even though he doesn't actually have two malkios, so too others might think that when you have two mechayvim, it'll be loka pamayim, which makes a lot of sense. Now, why are there two mechayvim? So we'll get back to this very soon. But certainly, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir, we've already made reference to the fact that they do seem to be referring to two different points in the process of tmura. Now, which refers to which, I think, is also debatable. If you look at different mafarshim, they seem to think that, you know, they seem to think different things. And it is important, but what the two options are is clear, even though which is less clear. The two options being, are we focusing on the projected new Kodshim, the effort to create Kodshim by being Poda, an existing Kodesh, that focus on the act of Hakdasha, is that the problem of Tmura? Is that the Isra of Tmura? Right? Or is it the opposite? Is it the focus on getting rid of the status of Kodesh, being the Saleh Kedusha, from the existing Kodesh? For example, and this gets given in the, you know, Mefarshim Al HaTorah, if you look at Rav Hirsch's commentary, so he tries to prove this, you know, linguistically, as he always does. He says whenever the Torah uses the expression lahachlif, it always focuses on the one that's going to be the substitute. Lo yachlifenu, in his opinion, he tries to prove this in different places. How compelling it is, I'm not so sure, but basically lo yachlifenu, he says, refers to the problem of creating Kodesh in the case of Tmura. That's the second behema. Lo yamir, he says, Tmura, lahamir, always refers to the object that already has stature that you're trying to exchange, that you're trying to make chol. Okay, we could go for that, just for argument's sake. It could be the others hold the opposite. But basically, there are two themes in Tmura. I'm not sure if this is similar, I think it overlaps with what you're trying to say. But lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir, then, we know that in Tmura, there was an effort to create Kedusha and to get rid of Kedusha. One of the things that we're going to just spend a couple more minutes analyzing is what are the problems in each of those. That it's a problem to eradicate Kedusha of a Karban, which doesn't have any mum, as a behema tamima, is clear. That clearly is a problem in Tmura. You can't take a behema which is invested with Kedusha and just be misalik that. That clearly is a problem. Is there really also a problem, per se, had it not been for the first problem, or the second problem, would there also be a problem of, let's use Rav Hirsch's designations. So there clearly is a problem of Lo Yamir. But is there an independent problem, per se, of Lo Yachlifenu? Or is it just the inability to have the Lo Yamir that affects it? In other words, basically, the normal way to be makdish a behema is to start from scratch and to go over to the behema and to be makdish it, right? The Gemara in Nazir, we discussed it actually in June's one, we're talking about Tokhan Dibur, the Gemara in Nazir characterizes, you know, the difference between Hakdasha and Tmura as Tchila and Sof. It's like a backdoor way of being makdish. Or is it? Basically, your normal hekdesh is, I come to an animal and I proclaim it as hekdesh, whether in the form of neder or nedava, that's our other topic which we're going to get to in a few minutes. Here, that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to create hekdesh from nothing by means of lo yamir, by means of the pigeon of an animal which cannot be nifta, by means of an animal that already exists. Now, the idea per se of using another kedusha in order to be makdish an animal, that doesn't have to be a problem. I mean, there's hatfasa bekonamos. I could say zu kazu. I can do that. But in the context of what the Gemara Nazir calls sof, meaning the attempt to eradicate kedusha from something, to exchange the kedusha, right, to substitute for the kedusha, is that a problem or not? So the point that we might be saying is, there's lo yachlifenu, two mechayvim idea, in other words, lo yachlifenu, is this similar to what you were, I guess I wasn't able to read the pratim, It sounds like you had some other.
I was suggesting that within the world of lo yamir, there's still an A and a B. But I agree that there is an issue of lo yafli ben. I just didn't get.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were focusing more on lo yamir, but I didn't have a sense that you were. Right, and also you want to link it up with the shalosh the shel chaveiro. I didn't catch that completely, so I have to look at it again. But let's just zero in on what I'm saying for the moment, which is lo yafli ben v'lo yamir, and that is, in other words, the question we have to ask ourselves in Tamura, and I'm just raising it because we're not learning Tamura now, but this is the last day that we're going to speak about this publicly, is that what is the relationship between these problems? I say, Loyamir is clearly a problem. You can't get rid of Kedusha without a mum, without Psula Mukdashi. Okay, so one could have said that that's the end of the story for Tamura. That's the Iser. It's a double Iser, Lechomer, or double Iser to expand. What is that Iser? The Iser is the effort to eradicate Kedusha on a Behema, which is Kadosh. Aye, what about the effort to create Kedusha? Right? Not really a terrible Iser or a problem. After all, it's not so different than being Makdash a Behema in another way. That's what one could have said. Or no. There really is a huge difference between Sof and Tchila. And therefore, Lo Yachli Fena is a problem. Or, another way, Lo Yachli Fena is a problem because of Lo Yamir. If it wasn't for Lo Yamir, then this method of Yachli Fena wouldn't be a problem. Well, I don't know if it's a Mitzvah Babavera, but the point is that it's... I don't need the Mitzvah Babavera. What I'm saying is, there's a linkage between, instead of saying there are two totally different things going on here. One is, you shouldn't be trying to eradicate Kedusha, and the other is, you shouldn't be trying to create Kedusha in this method. The way to create Kedusha is either through Hatfasa ben Adarin, or through, Mirasa Lagavoa, Kimisirasa Lahed, on a regular act of Hakdasha. And you can't do it by trying to eradicate or try to get the Kedusha to leave one animal. For that. Aside from what you're doing, on the first animal, which is wrong, it's not doable, and it's also Chilul Kedusha, or the effort of Chilul Kedusha. So the point is, this is an improper method, and a tainted method also, of Yachifana. But that's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that, therefore, it's Mitzvah Bava. Forget about Mitzvah Bava. Just, it's not Hakdasha. It's not a proper act of Hakdasha. And it's also... an Aveira, because it's Mizalz on the process of Hakdasha. Yeah.
Also, I think this whole model of between Chayvim, these two different aspects, the Gemara Torah has some Aleph, when it has the Lashon, it's trying to figure out why it says Lo Yachinu and Lo Yomer. It says, Eat Kasim Hachi, have a man who takes his own to Pasoku to Tilki, have a neighbor to Chavad Kamakish.
Right.
So that lashon seems to be mashma there.
Could be. Again, that's all part of the habmin of the Gemara when the Gemara is trying to figure out the two lavin. It could be. It's very possible. So basically, what I'm saying is that there's one way to look at Tamura is it's all about the. Well, let's take Rav Hirsch's usage for the moment. It's all about the lo yamir part, right? Or one could say it's not about the lo yamir. It's not about the lo yachli fena. It's the package integrated deal. You're trying to get A in at the expense of, or you get A out, because of B, so you just can't do that. That is l'achlifen of l'ayamir, but the Torah is using a double osha. Right, that's a second. Or there really are two different, or maybe even three different things going on there, but basically two. One is l'ayamir, the other is l'achlifen. And they're really quite different, even though they are connected with one with the other. On the Loya Chlifeno, I think there are other questions to raise. Again, we're not going to speak about this so much more, but and that is as follows. So in the end, we say, well, this is all very connected to the Asay, too. Hu Tmuraso Yeh Kodesh. Right? That's the result. This is what you want to do. What you want to do is, you want to get rid of the Kedusha on A, you want to impose Kedusha on B, but that doesn't work. What really happens? A remains Kodesh, B becomes Kodesh. We're just not sure whether there's any Kiddush in the B. Right? Well, that's what the Torah means when it says, the result is that Hayahu Tmuraso Yeh Kodesh. So my point is as follows. I think you could ask the question, and this will help us in a minute. You can ask the question about the loyamir part, and you can ask the question about the loyachlifeno part. When you talk about what the Gemara calls the nita klaase, meaning, who tmuraso yeh kodesh? So is the tmuraso yeh kodesh part, is that a chiddush at all? Is that a din Torah? Or is that just our way of saying, you just, on the loyamir, you're just totally ineffective? Of course you can't do it. So it's just a no-brainer, nothing happens. Tmuraso yeh kodesh, because you didn't do anything. Or, is it possible that the reason that tmuraso is yeh kodesh, really, you know, this, normally you can't just be poda an animal, if it's a behema, you know, not a balasmum. So it's kadosh. But lu yitzuya, you were exchanging it on some level, you could do that. Except that the Torah says you can't do it. Right? So in a way, when we say tmuraso yeh kodesh, it is a chiddush. We're not just saying that's ridiculous. Maybe what we're saying is, this would really work, except the Torah says it doesn't work. The chiddush is tmuraso yeh kodesh. Even though on some level it really should work, and you really have, so then there's a chiddush. The chiddush is the Torah is not allowing you to do what on some level you have capacity to do, just eradicate kedusha through substitution. You can't eradicate kedusha just stomp through pidgin, right, and then take the money and then buy, but directly through exchange you could, but you can't. So then the nit, what's called the nita klase, affects the loyamir part. Or now let's look at the loyachlifeno in the same way. Torah says who utmurasa yekodesh. Forget about utmurasa yekodesh. What about the who yekodesh? Is that a chiddush? Is that a din Torah, like a chiddush? Something beyond just, you know, futility or what you did? So again, if I say that loyachlifeno is basically not the problem to begin with, you can be makdish behema. You can be makdish behema in this way too. The only problem is that you were trying to be makdish the behema and get rid of the other one. But the Hakadasha, it's like, it's okay, this is Sofo and that's Tchilasa, fine. Okay. But it works. Not that radically different. So then the who of the who, Tmuraso Yeh Kodesh, is not a Chiddush at all, pretty much. Yeah, that's Hekdesh. Or no, what we're really saying is that the Loy Achlifeno is a huge problem. You can't make Hekdesh in this way. And therefore, the result, it's usur to do it this way. And maybe it shouldn't have worked this way either. But the Torah kind of imposes this chiyuv on you. Torah says, you know, you think you're so smart, you're going to substitute kedusha, you're going to end up with double kedusha. Okay, so even the who is a chiddush. What does a nita klase go on? Both? Layamir and layachlifeno? If I had to choose one, right? I would say more loyachlifeno than loyamir. Loyamir, it sounds like it just doesn't work. But I'm suggesting models where the tmuraso yeh kodesh would apply to both, or to one or the other. So I think when we discuss the possibility of two mechayvim in tmura, this is what we're talking about. What is the relationship between creating kedusha in this way, loyachlifeno? I'm just using loyachlifeno as that. Trying to eradicate kedusha in this way, lo yamir, or is it just the package, the effort to move one out and to bring one in at the same time? Is that what it is? That's one. And also, when it comes to who tmurasa yakodesh, which of these is being affected? Okay. Now, this may have a lot to do with understanding why this is even called nita klase. I mentioned already, this is not a classic nita klase. Classic nita klase is some sort of tikkun, like the Heshev is like Zeh Lasher Gazal, Ba'nosar Mimenu, you know, Baboker, you know, Ba'esh Yisrofu, you know, Shalach to Shalach Esa'im, things that you do, you take initiative, you did an Isur, and now you're doing a mitzvah to fix it up, to adjust, to compensate. That's not what happens here. You don't do anything. This is the Din Torah. It's a very remarkable Nita Klase. Is it really even nita klase? At all. I mean, the Gemara calls it that. The one Gemara, at least. Right? The Gemara in Tmura, Daud on Beis, calls it nita klase. But it doesn't look like any other nita klase that we know of. But at least if we were to say that it isn't, yeah, I mean, that's that doesn't leave because you didn't do anything, and that is effective because you can be makdish that way, then it's really not a nita klase. I mean, that there's no action on the part of the avarian in this nita klase as opposed to other nita klase, that's a double, that's a fact. I mean, he doesn't do anything. There's nothing for him to redeem himself to do. That's clear. I'm talking about, forget that for the moment. Is there even anything that happens as a result of the lav that somehow improves the situation or changes the situation? Because one could have said, Bahaya Utmuraso Kodesh is just a description of, right, the futility of the Lo Yamir and the lack of real problem in the Lo Yachlifano. The Lo Yachlifano, hektish. Right? Just so you shouldn't do it this way. But you did it, it's okay, it works. Or, at least we could say, the Torah is somehow kind of being metaking here. The Torah is stepping in and saying, right, Lo Yamir, because capacity-wise, on some level, there would have been the means to effect this exchange. The Torah is stepping in and saying, even though Lo Yachlifena, right, who, Kodesh, meaning, in terms of the capacity of what you did, it really shouldn't work as hekdesh. The Torah is imposing upon you that this is going to be hekdesh. I'm saying, I think you could say it either way. The Tmuraso is the chiddush that it remains kodesh, or is it the Yachlifena, that's the effort to create the kedusha that is the chiddush, because it really shouldn't work. Or at least say it shouldn't work if the other one can't have your cake and eat it too. It doesn't work if the other one doesn't leave, because where do you get the kedusha from? You had kedusha. Now all of a sudden you have double kedusha, right? You have kedusha, so it's like, you know, you can exchange it. So in that sense, at least, again, I know this is a little bit subtle and complicated, but I'm just saying tamura is. What can I do? But the point is, there are different perspectives here on what really Tmura is all about. Both the Lo Yachlifena and the Lo Yamir, and the Hu Tmuraso Yeh Kodesh. So if we say that there are two Malkios, it doesn't only have to be like Grizz understood it. Yeah, that day in Tosis is like the Ramban. It could be that what we're saying is there are two Malkios, because there are two Mechayvim, like there is in Bayur Abayi Matzeh. The Rambam may not hold that way, but maybe Tosfos holds that way in the first day. Now, what I understood Daniel was trying to do, but again, I have to look again at his details, is suggest something like this, maybe, but somehow to link it up also to the question of, you know, is it more problematic to do Tmura al shel chavercha, on the behema of your friend? I think there's a connection. Again, not sure if this is what he's saying, but that it just may go as follows, at least on the Lo Yachlifena part. If you think Lo Yachlifena is not really, meaning making the, you know, the new one, Kodesh, isn't really such a big deal, because it's just a method of Hakdasha, and it isn't really through the exchange or the Kedusha of the original Behema at all. It's just a kind of like a Hatvasa and a Hakdasha. So then really, what should be the big deal about Behema's Chaveira? Like if I go to Behema's Chaveira and I say, I want my Bessie here to be just like your Bessie. Yeah. A very fine and old cow name, right? So, I mean, I have to have a connection and he has to give me permission to invoke the name of his Bessie. I mean, really? And that's how much of a chiddush is that? So if I'm really taking Bessie, you know, the Kadosh Bessie's Kedusha, and that's really the source for my Kedusha, I can't do that if it's not mine. So if I'm really in, you know, not just invoking the idea, but I'm really partaking of the Kedusha in the context of Tamura, then fine. I understand why the Gemara says he has to allow it. There's a Kiddush in that. But otherwise, well, what's the difference? If there's no real problem on the Lo Yachlifena part of the Hakdasha, and then what difference does it make? Whether it's Shalosh or Chaver, I don't need a pasuk for that. So maybe the need for a pasuk, I'm not sure if this is what you were saying. I think it sounded a little different.
Structurally,
I think,
it's the same, but the details are very
right.
different.
Right. Structurally, I think it is the same. But the details are different, and yours may be more compelling. I'd have to look at it again. But structurally, I think we're trying to do the same thing, and that is maybe the fact that you need Xeris HaKasov, if you need Xeris HaKasov to be Marbe, Shel Chavero, so that indicates that we're going in one of these directions about whether Lo Yachlifeno is really a problem, whether in addition to Lo Yamir, there's a Lo Yachlifeno issue. Having said that, let me just add one other point, and I'll take Yehuda's question. In general, let's say, this. I'm trying to explain the two Mechayvim for the moment. I also think that whether it's Lava Nitak, etc., how we understand Lava Nitak may depend on these issues, as I've explained. But there's another issue in the sugya that's worth noting, and that is, according to the mainstream view, which is that you get only one Malkus, right? So what do you get Malkus for? Do you get Malkus for Lo Yachlifeno or for Lo Yamir? Yeshua.
What do you get Malkus for?
Yeah. Or for the combination? What? I mean, in theory, you could say it either way. You could say, well, if Lo Yachlifeno or Lo Yamir is one... Right, but anybody weigh in on that? Is there any issue about that? Eitan?
I would just guess that the Gutmar Atoya Kodesh would remove the Lo Yamir and still be high for the Malkus for Lo Yachlifeno.
I mean, if you had your druthers, if you were writing the rules. I'm just saying, are there any Makoros on this issue? Michael?
I guess you could start with the Rambam. The fact that the one issue that the Rambam chooses to write
is
the Omira, so therefore.
Okay, that's number one. Excellent. Anybody write differently, Aaron?
Rashi here and Rashi here.
Absolutely. Rashi here says.
I think
Rashi here says Lo Yamir.
Okay. He says Lo Yamir.
But in Bab Metzia, what?
Rashi
yeah,
before.
When he talks about in general, you're absolutely right. Rashi here it seems to undergo some sort of a transition. Here, where's the what's nice he say for Venechazi, as they say? They do say that. Oren, you have it?
No.
Got really two Rashis here, you're right. Rashi and Bab Metzia, if you have like the people who have the Musaf Rashi is on the side.
Yeah.
You have that one?
No, I don't have that one.
Who has the Rashi and Bab Metzia on the side of the Gemara? Or just Bab Metzia Tzadi Aleph. Anybody have it? I have that Gemara, but I don't have it right here with me. Okay, that's what Rashi says. I'm almost positive. That's what Rashi says. Lo Yachlifeno. What does he say here? Go ahead.
The Sofeges Harabayim Mishum Lav the Lo Yamir.
Yeah. And earlier?
The previous one, Lushadim Rashai, this is Lo Yachlifeno.
Yeah. So some of the Achronim speak about this.
Yeah, Bab Metzia just says Mishum Lo Yachlifeno.
Lo Yachlifeno. Yeah. So, and in Tmura, what does he say? Lo Yamir. So we have basically, four Rashis. Two Lo Yachlifenos and two Lo Yamirs. Right? We thought Kefal Alavin was the problem. Now we have Kefal of the Kefal Alavin. But this is a very fascinating question. Now again, it could be that, that if you're only going to get one, so again, if they're identical in any way, no real enough. There might be enough Kamina, by the way, in terms of Asra. Right? This is a Minchas Chinuch issue.
Right?
Do you have to give? Yeah, Rashi. Rashi Shavuos. The one the Minchas Chinuch always quotes.
Yeah, for the Zugim and
Rashi
Shavuos.
Absolutely right. Correct. The Minchas Chinuch says you always, isn't enough to quote the general Iser. Do you have to quote the right Pasuk? Right? So it's an interesting question. He thinks it's Machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam. What?
It's in the same Pasuk.
Right, I mean, which part of the, let's say, Oh, you mean
call
Pasuk lo Paska, well, they were learning brachas in the yeshivas here. Call Pasuk lo Paska Moshe Rabbeinu Anan lo Paskinan. Okay. So, But I think even more so, again, there's this technical problem to overcome, which is, again, we just don't know. Let's say I'm right that Rav Hirsch is right, that Lo Yachlifeno and Lo Yamir refer to different, one refers to the old Korban. And one refers to the perspective will be new korban. Okay. But there's also a question of which refers to which. Again, he was pretty sure linguistically that the Lo Yachlifeno refers to the would-be korban and the Lo Yamir refers to the old korban. But I'm not 100% sure that everybody would agree with that. So, presumably Rashi himself didn't change his mind at that point. So whichever it is, if one of these Lavin is singled out as the source of the Malkus, and there really are two mechayvim. I'm sorry, there aren't two mechayvim, so then the question is, well, which is the ikara mechayiv? That's another question. Is the real most, the biggest problem in Tmura is the problem of eradicating Kedusha? Right? Or no, that would be fine, just that this is no way to create Kedusha. Or the opposite. Creating Kedusha is no problem. You know, sofo tchiloso, not such a big deal. But eradicating Kedusha from a chepta without a mum, impossible. Unacceptable. So I think that the question of, you know, which pasuk you quote becomes very important. It's also possible that this issue affects, and again, I'm not going to pin down completely, but I think in theory at least it might affect, the question of why it's a lav, why it's not a lav shein b'maisa. As we said, there are three formulations of that. Right? One is the Gemara b'metzia, kimas svasa. The other is the Gemara in Tmura. Well, the 2 days in Tmura. One is Meimar Nishma Makalos Hashem, it's an exception. It really is a law of Shem B'maisa B'Chalokin, in other words. And the third is, it's a law of Shem B'maisa because of the Dibura Ka'avid Maisa. So which of these is, and we know that the Rambam comes under attack because the Rambam decided to stick with the original Meimar Makalel, Meimar Nishma Makalos Hashem. Kesemisha says, well, what are you talking about? The Gemara said, B'dibura kavid maisa. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So does this have something to do, this question, whether it's B'dibura kavid maisa? Or, depends what's going on in Tmura. What's the controversy in Tmura? Is it both? Is it one because of the other? But which one because of the other? Or is it just one? So is it the loyachli fena, again, to use Rav Hirsch's designation, is it the Yitziras Kedusha one? Is it the effort to be motzi kedusha from the kadosh? And here I think is another element, a tricky element here, and that is, again, the nita klasei b'hu tmuraso yeh kodesh. So again, as we just discussed, we're not sure whether that refers to both, because it's a chiddush in both, it's a chiddush in neither, or it's a chiddush in one, right? And which one? We're just not sure, because the whole thing is very, very subtle. So when we ask ourselves, you know, b'dibura kavod maisa, or is this a lav shein b'maisa, lav sheyesh b'maisa, right? We have to have these issues in mind. The hakdasha, the hamara, the hakdasha because of the hamara because of this method of hakdasha. Yeah.
It's possible that there's an added dimension to the essay, and that it's not just that it's mechayish and din, I'm not sure if it's a chiddush, but Chinuch this month says that if you're not knowing kedusha, if you're moal in it, not only you're over the essay of meila, but you're over the essay of who between us and kodesh and both behemos. So is that?
Say that again.
Chinuch says that if you're moal the kedusha of either of the behemos, you're not only over the essay of meila, but you're also
of who Rahu Tarasu Yakodesh.
I mean, so it might not be so obvious. It might be that right. Where there's an added dimension. It's not just that the Kiddush, but you have to treat it more like a korban.
So I think that works well according to what we just said, which is that who Tarasu Yakodesh, in the sense that it's Nita Klasei, at least as far as that is concerned. Namely, that the who Tarasu Yakodesh isn't just a description, well, you failed, and this you didn't need really to succeed, but it's saying the Din Torah is who Tarasu Yakodesh.
Right, that's what it sounds like the chinuch is saying.
Right. And therefore you violate the assay when you don't treat it that way.
Right.
As opposed to saying, well, this, you know, it was a futile effort, and it didn't work. 100%. I think it's a very good riot.
But I'm not sure if there also seems to be, maybe he's coming at, there seems to be an irony. Like, let's say if the thing that you're trying to put the kedusha on, it becomes a korban, there's an irony. It's like an imposed korban korban is supposed to be something much more ideal, and this is coming.
That may be the reason why there's an Isur Lo'achli Fena. Maybe that's the reason why this SOFO, this method, is totally unacceptable. I think that goes to what we were saying beforehand.
Right, but the fact that a korban is created out of this, even as an imposed punishment, also seems less than ideal. Maybe this essay is supposed to...
Oh, okay, I hear what you're saying. So let me get back, let me say there was something about I think in light of what you're saying now. Let's go back to the Tosas in the sugya very quickly. Just give me one more minute and I'll take all the questions to make the sahara. And that is as follows. When we began reading the sugya, we said, well, there's some interesting Tosas in here about the relationship between Mazen and Chokig, and Malkus and Tmura. Right? Number one, Tosas was bothered. Arboim Bekatfei, and it's going to be a Karban. Right? That was one line in Tosas. Then there's the other line in Tosas where Tosas said, well, which is better, which is easier, which is more palatable? Tmura b'shogeg or Tmura b'mezeg? So one day in Tosas says that depends. If you're talking about the Hakdasha, then shogeg is a bigger problem because it's more of a Tos. If you're talking about the Hakrava, but that's a Tosas here in Chulin, Beis Amud Aleph on the side. If you're talking about the Hakraba, then being a shogeg is better. Okay. So in a certain sense, in light of what we've just been discussing, I think it really depends on your point of view. In other words, if you're talking about the Hakdasha, and basically you're saying the Hakdasha part of Loyak Lifanav Lo Yamir is not the problem. Right? Treat it like any other kachim. So then we would understand. Number one, Tosa, Arboim Bekatfei, and it's going to work. What do you mean treat it like any other kachin? He's getting Malkus. It isn't just a routine hektish. Right? On the other hand, if the reason that Loyach Lifena works is not because it's, I mean, the who Kodesh, never mind the Tmuraso, is because despite everything, it's enough like a regular Hakdasha. That's not the reason. Let's say it's the opposite. The only reason that it works, this is totally unacceptable, like we just said, in every way, and this is no way to create a Hekdesh, right? But on the Torah swoops in and says, not only Tmuraso, or maybe because of Tmuraso, but Hu Yeh Kodesh. So then, in a way, I think this is the irony that you're describing. The Aveira, the Iser, ends up contributing to Hekdesh. It's only Hekdesh, as it wouldn't be Hekdesh, all things being equal, because this is no way to be Makdish a cow or whatever, or a sheep. That's not the way to do it. It's a free and clear, idealistic act of Hakdasha. But if you're going to do this particular method, it shouldn't work. Except the Torah says we're going to make it work as a kind of an onesh, or whatever. I don't know if it's an onesh. I don't want to be darshin in the Talmud Kra. It's working because of the halacha of who tmarasa yakodesh. So if that's the case, we might understand the second day of Tosis. Again, the first day of Tosis was if it's shogeg, that's a problem for the hakadasha. Because it's more like a toes. If it's shogeg, it's better for the hakrava, because it's less of an aveira, like a mitzvah bab aveira or a mos type of an issue. Then the other day, and Tosa says, no, inami, it's not talking about that. Tosa seems to drop that idea. Why? I think because from a certain point of view of who tmaraso yakodesh, dafka the mazit, the violation is the only thing. It's who tmurasa yakodesh. It's not just the tmura part, it's the who that's the chiddush haTorah. And that who is a result of, well, look what you tried to do. Who yakodesh. So I think that the whole discussion of Tosas, shogeg, mezid, arboim bekatve, has to be understood in light of these two issues. That
I think it's partially that. It's also the thing, even if you don't want to say it's an onish, it's just ironic that a korban that's supposed to be something so positive
right.
comes out of a situation that's so negative. Okay. I think the assay is supposed to get out of that situation by treating it as a korban anyway. Or
it doesn't solve it. It just
right. But the fact that there's an assay mentioned that it's not just about me'ila, but there's also an assay of treating like a normal korban, even though it came to a more negative situation, is part of the
right, but I don't know if it makes it less negative. It just means that afal b'chein, this is a full carbon, and you have to treat it as such. And not to do so is to add insult to injury, in a way that you shouldn't have made it done this. You did it, and the Torah swoops in and makes it a carbon, and now you're not going to treat it as a carbon. That's a further slap in the face.
Right.
Could be that that's the whole issue is that you have a lack of regard for the process of hakdash.
No, for sure. That's for sure.
And therefore, what Joe's saying is exactly the point, because yeah. by treating it as kodesh, you are remedy, you're rectifying your issur in the sense that you're...
I mean, that's part of the tikkun also?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. By treating it as kodesh, you're partially... that you tried to break all the rules, which is offensive in the context of kodshim in particular, which is, you know, which requires matirim, and you just... How can you make up your own rules? And not only that, some of the rules specifically are about getting out of kodshim. So the antidote is Hut Marasa Yeh Kodesh, greater awareness, greater sense of kedusha and humility, and so on. Could be. That's possible too. I like it. Very good. Yeah.
Just wanted two quick questions. First of all, back here, I was wondering, what's the
Mir Shliach? Yeah. Okay.
What's the issue about why is it by let's say by it comes to machlus from one animal to another, there's an isser, but I think by most there's no problem of like saying I want this animal that's not doesn't have a mum to the kedusha should go on to the most. There's no isser of that. If that's true,
say that again.
There's no isser of trying to be pulled onto most. An animal, not
a you can't take an animal which has kedushas aguf. Well, I guess it's just totally futile. So.
I'm saying, so why do we have the same? I'm saying, why is it that by tumor there's an issue of taking one?
You could say that one is just more absurd, and therefore it's not. It's so much more not possible. You know, that you're just like, you know, dreaming or hitting your head against the wall. I mean. Could say that. If you wanted to say that the real problem was the lo yachlifenu and not the lo yamir, that would certainly explain that. But I wouldn't be. I think the first explanation works fine too. But I hear the question.
And also the Rambam, would the Rambam say the same thing as the Joe Porter, the Chinuch saying that he says over there, he just says that musnasi yakodesh, but he doesn't say like you have to behave that way. He just says that the halacha is like that.
Right.
You see in the minyan mitzvahs, he says it as if it's, he has like a whole list of all the mitzvahs. He says a lot of things like as if it's just like this is the din Torah, like he says by like you know.
But he does call it nita glase. But he does also call it nita glase.
Right. So I'm saying, but does that mean that either maybe you would violate that asay if you let's say in general let's say you don't treat tumah nita as a certain halacha?
Right.
You mean that asay of.
You're asking whether what he said, the chinuch says, the Rambam holds like that or not? I don't remember. I have to check. I don't remember. Is that a chiddush of the chinuch in particular? Minchas Chinuch says that's a chiddush of the chinuch?
I haven't examined this.
Yeah, I don't recall that either. But I mean,
it doesn't say Malvakodesh.
I'll try to check. I don't remember. I don't remember. Yehuda had a question also. Yeah.
I was
going to
say the same thing that was up front. Maybe the nitak is your understanding because you're not actually doing it. It's inherently going to become kodesh.
Right.
But when you understand that you can't overstep the boundaries.
I mean, that is the
nitak.
Nitak.
And that's also possibly when Rambam asks, well, why do you still get malchus? The answer is because it's not a real asset. It's just an issue of understanding.
Well, either way, I think one could say that this isn't a real Nita Class A. Again, the Rambam doesn't seem to say it that way exactly, except that the Rambam does say, now we'll get back to where we were in the other structure of things, and that is... remember that the Rambam gives two answers.
Right. He doesn't give any answers that I just said, but that could
right.
be a threat
right.
to the question.
Right.
Real asset.
Right.
Really doing
it. Right. Absolutely. One could have said that there's no real assay here. It's not Nita Class A. It isn't an assay. It's just the fact that these two things happen. Yeah.
Just a quick point. The first one is just to add that the groundswell of support for Joe's theory is growing. Is I think I think Rasag actually is a little three words comment there on how you tomorrow so Yakodesh, he says the hope book to show. So I think
I don't know whether maybe.
If you wanted to say that's descriptive, then
I mean
then
for sure that's the halacha.
Then
whether that for sure that's the halacha. But what he's adding is he's saying in a way that is the neutralizing of.
Right. So I think if you read it prescriptively, I think it's supposed
right.
to show. Just in defense of the Rambam against the Kesef Mishnah, as to why the Rambam wasn't so keen on saying the Dibur Kav in my study
right.
first to include it, you know, Memer and Nishba, and Kalel. So,
it's also because of the Shutfin issue, I think. But yeah.
Okay. Right.
Which we'll get to in a second.
So I think you can say like this. I think it's perfectly clear from the Rambam, and I think you can use the control of Hamishan B'Kodesh L'Kodesh to prove this. that the Rambam is focused, to borrow Hirsch, his terminology, the Rambam is clearly focused on the lo yamir more than he's focused on the lo yachlifenu.
Okay.
And that's why Mishana Lekodesh Lekodesh, where there's no other agent, but you know, you're dealing with thing is already Kodesh, it's the same issue of Zilzal Bikdusha. And I think the Rambam elaborates on that very clearly in Dalet Yud-Gimel, the last halacha in Tvura. So if that's the case, then B'dibura Kavid Maisa isn't really a good fit, because Klape, the lo yamir, the animal that's
right.
already Kodesh, you're
right.
not really doing a Maisa, that's staying the same. But
B'dibura Kavid Maisa, that's what I was referring to before. It definitely works much better if you focus on
lo
yachlifenu.
Lo yachlifenu, so
absolutely.
I think it's very...
Yeah, that's 100%. That's what I was alluding to what I said before, that maybe that's connected to the Rambam's dropping, or preferring Rabbi Yochanan to... I agree with you 100% on that. I also think that another example of the Rambam's example of Tzibur and Shutav, where the Rambam says, well, you have cases where there is an Iser and there really is no Chalos Kedusha, right? Which is the Rambam's Inami to why there's no Lavan Tiklase, I think proves that too. Because there too you have a situation where you can only analyze it from a Lo Yamir perspective and not from a Lo Yachlifenu. And I think, and there is no Dibura Kavid Mais in that case because nothing happens. So I think these are points in the Rambam. Again, getting back to, so in terms of the number of Malkios, I think these are some of the issues. In terms of getting back to Bayura and the other cases, so why there's no multiple Malkios in Bayura, I think we discussed already. And okay. So let's get finally back to the question of Lavanita Klase. Okay, we've already done much of the work. We're just going to finish this off quickly. So again, this you have this Gemara, Lavanita Klase and Dalaran Beis. It's a Chiddush that it's even called Lavanita Klase. As we just discussed, one could have said it's just the fact. Either way, there's nothing that you do. Even if you take what we've been saying today, which is that the Torah swoops in and does things, the Torah does it, you don't do it. And it's also not clear that it's Metakin, although, as he said, I mean, there seems to be support for Joe's theory. I think there's another way to explain the Nita Klase in a second. Yeah.
Can we say that the second animal does not have full level of Kedusha? Besides the fact that it's not optimal to do that, the law is that you can't do a Tumura on a Tumura?
Could be. It could be. And then the Arachronim will really speak about that a lot. We'll say that the, even though we say that, you know, Utmarasa Yeh Kodesh, that, again, that's a Din Torah, like we were explaining before. I mean, really, really, it should be partially Yotze Kedush Aso, and that there would be Nafkamina after that, in terms of such issues, that the Tamura really has lost some dimension of it, some luster of its Kedusha.
But is
very
it
possible.
Kind of like saying theory why it should only work on one as opposed to just saying that loses Kedusha along the way? Is there a concept to say that Tamura can only work one time?
Yeah, so I'm saying if you hold that way, that's a discussion, then you would say, well, it's hard to say that if nothing happened. It's easier to say that if something happened, but it's still Huya Kodesh, and you're still treated as Kodesh, but it really is lacking something, so it can't be a source for Kedusha. Again, I just don't want to get too much into details of Tepura, but I think that is a very fruitful perspective in Lo Yamir. Again, in terms of the Lava Nitak, so just to sum up that, there are several chidushim in the Gemara. Then number one is that this is called the Lava Nitak. It's just so different from everything else. Number two, in light of Daf Tesum and Aleph, get back to that question. Is it the Gemara says it's Lava Nitak, but it's two lava. So is it really two lavin? Right. If one is shalom and the other is shalchaver. So again, if we take the perspective that Daniel was suggesting with his details, or what I was suggesting with mine, which is that the hu v'chavero isn't just about an expansion of the cases. It really is about two mechayvin. That's possible. Although we'll get that in a second, too. If it's more a, or at least if it shows an expanded, unified, maybe even more so. But if it really is just an expansion of the cases, so that's a problem of lava nita klase. That's hard to understand. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, as I mentioned, drops the limudim of hu v'chavero. He doesn't quote the Gemara. He quotes the halacha that about tesom and aleph, namely that it's hu and chavero. If the guy says, you know, anybody who comes to my behema and wants to be meimer, you know, it's fine. The Rambam quotes that halacha, but the Rambam doesn't quote the psukim. That's very important. The Lechem Mishnah was bothered by this question. Can you say lava nitak How can the Rambam say lav and itak, but the Gemara says it's one is for shalom and one is shel chavero? That's the Lechem Mishnah seemed to be saying. He thought that the Gemara in Daf Dalet and the Gemara in Daf Tes don't agree. But in light of what we've said, A, the Rambam may not have the limud. B, there are these other ways to look at it, or that it's a bundle of number one and number two, or number one and number three. Okay. As for the general idea, but what about a lava nitak against two lavin? So, as we discussed, this should be very relevant to what we've been discussing. If we're talking about chozik and chizuk and chomer and so on, so then you get to the Shagazari Mishnah Lamelech issue, as we already talked about it. There are two against you, and they're not just two, they're a double, so you don't get anywhere, or you knock out one, right? Or even if it's two, maybe you can't knock out one because the strength of numbers, right, that transcends just the numbers. So that's one issue. And in that, maybe it could be mechalik between Essen and Lavin. Again, the issues are a little bit different. There's Lavin Nita Klase, that's a sugya here. What the Mishnah Melech discusses is Ase Doche Lo Sase. Now the truth is that some people understand Lavin Nita Klase is kind of a reverse Ase Doche Lo Sase. Namely, you have the Lavin, no, and on the other side of the ledger there's an Ase. So to compare them is very reasonable, and you have an Ase, and the question is it Doche Lo Sase V Ase? And it's all arraying the various opposing forces, one against the other. That's the way many people look at it. But then the question is the questions we discussed, the military strategy, you know, questions. If it's one colossus or it's, two, what the relationship is one against two, and so on. But in theory, one could say that these are really totally different ideas. And maybe they work in totally different ways. I'll explain it in just a minute. So, as far as Chomer and Chizuk is concerned, whether the Shagas Aryeh and Mishnah Lamelech are right or not, I think is an open question. Either way, the Shagas Aryeh uses this to explain by Rabbi Matzeh and the one Malkus here. These are the things that he tries to explain. The other possibility that we mentioned the other day was if we're talking about category number three, namely two Mechaibim, so can you say divide and conquer? And I'm not sure that you have to, but I think it's reasonable. In other words, you have two mechayvim and they are different. So if they're two mechayvim and they overlap, you know, you still might say that it's two against one. But especially if they really are two different mechayvim. So basically it's one against, let him take each one out separately. Or does the fact that he has to expend double energy to fight two battles, there's a military aspect to this too, right? He still has to fight two battles. But he's not fighting, he's one against one, and then he's 10 minutes later he's going to be, or simultaneously, he's doing two one against ones. He's never doing one against two, and he's certainly not doing one against double. These are the different models that we're talking about. So if I'm going to be one against one and then one against one, if I have a time lag and I can rest in between, it's certainly not a problem. If I have to do them simultaneously, it could still be a problem. But at least we can understand that, that it's doable. So that might be an explanation for Bal Yirah. Why is it Bal Yirah, according to the Gemara at least, is Lav Nita Klase, whereas Tmura is not. If you say that Tmura is not two Mechayvim, then Bal Yirah is. Another explanation would be, we're talking about two different types of Lav Nita Klases, as we just discussed. In other words, maybe Lav Nita Klase for Tmura is just a misnomer. It's a totally different kind of Nita Klase. If you had the Nita Klase of a Tikkun, like Tashbisu or Leheshiv, that's one thing. But if you're talking about this, so again, we're struggling hard to figure out who Tmura so Yakodesh. And at best, it's the Torah swooping in and doing things. Or Joe's way, which is, he's going to treat it. But again, he's still going to treat it as big dusha and bekavod only because the Torah has forced him to do it. He still didn't take the initiative, right? Even according to what you're suggesting. So it's still quite different. So maybe the different nita klases just don't work in the same way. Maybe the Rambam was uncomfortable with it from that point of view as well. Let me just take another stab very quickly at Nita Klase. Somebody made the comment the other day. Who made that comment about Nitak and Tikkun and... Oh, Elliot made the comment. Okay. So, you know, we say Nita Klase, we don't say Tikkun Klase. What is another explanation of Lava Nita Klase? So I'm just going to take a quick stab at it. Okay, then I guess we'll have to end this because we need to move on to the next... So try to get to Nedarim and Taharas HaKodesh on Thursday. or at least through Nedarim. In general, how does Lava Nita Klase really work? So again, one possibility is it's like, you know, almost like an Ase Dava Tochalos Ase kind of situation. Like I said, you know, you have forces arrayed on different sides. And in this case, of course, in Ase Dochalos Ase, it's all the Katkhila. Right? The point is, B'makom Ase, Ase Dochalos Ase is takes priority. And it's a lechatchila. Labanitak, you violated lab, and the question is, can you be metakein b'derech hasei? That already makes it quite different. But at least we could say it's a question of forces. Or is it possible that there's something else at work? And this partially depends on the sugya in Makos, the famous sugya. Bitlo, kimu, right, that whole question. Is it possible, this a bit of a pet theory, that Lav Anita Klase isn't so different, so very different from Lav Sheim B'Maisa. And what I mean by that is as follows. That when something is Nita Klase, it's not the Tikkun HaAseh that neutralizes the Malkus. It's the fact that there is an Aseh that's still relevant after the Lav reflects that the Maisa Avera alone is not the Mechayev. There are more ingredients here than meet the eye. Because if I do a Maisa Avera, and it's a standalone Maisa Avera, and it's the Mechayev, so then you might argue that it's just not Nitan Latiko. There's nothing I can do. If the Tikkun in some way redresses the Avera and the Iser, then apparently the objective Maisa isn't all that is Mechayev. One way to say it, in many cases, the way to say it would be, and in that sense, it's Nita Klase, meaning the Lav is cut off in a way, or the Lav is tempered or qualified by the fact that there is an associated Aseh. That's what I mean to say. And therefore, it isn't that kind of a Lav. It's not that the Aseh is Metaking, or the potential Aseh is Monea Malkus because it could be Metakein. It's the fact that it is Nitak means it isn't a full Lav slash Maisa Vera such that it can be Mechayev you Malkus. Now, in some cases, what that means is in order to really violate fully, you need a combination of a Maisa Vera and a Sheval Tase not to do the Aseh. And therefore, all you've really done is half or three quarters or four fifths or nine tenths. I don't really care how much. The point is you haven't done 100%. Because if you turn around tomorrow and you do shalach to shalach esa'im or v'heshe v'sagzela, right? Or you know, you sreifa, in order to really, really qualify for the Yisr Nosar, you have to not only leave it over, but leave it over and not burn it. And if you left it over, that's not the full Maisa Avera. In that sense, it's Lav hanitak laase. The ase cuts off or reflects that you we're dealing here with is only a half life, qualitatively inferior lav, or at least one which isn't driven by the Maisa Avera. So is it possible that maybe that's what's going on here in Temura as well? The fact that we say, oh, this is the Havamina and the Maskana, or this is the question of the Gemara. But the Gemara is suggesting, again, it's very speculative what I'm saying. I think the general idea, let me say clearly, the general idea that Lava Nita Klase may work the way I just described, namely, that it reflects that the Maisa Vera isn't the kind of Maisa Vera that is Mechayev Yumalkis, I think that has a very strong foundation. Again, in that sugya, Makos and other things, some of the cases, the fact that you can redress things, as opposed to saying You're metakein the lav. What I'm about to say is more speculative, which is maybe when the Gemara calls Tmura Nita Klas A, it understands very well what we understood, which is A, he's not doing any initiative. B, it may just be describing the dinim. So in what sense is that Nita Klas A? But maybe what the Gemara means is not tikkun ha'ase, but as we just said, nitak la'ase, meaning the lavin are cut short by v'hoyahu t'murasu yakodesh. The Gemara thought. In the same sense that lavin nitak la'ase, the classical nitak la'ase, which normally is through tikkun halav, but it's not tikkun halav per se, it's the nitakas halav. So too here, the fact that it's hoyahu t'murasu kodesh shows you that the Maisa Vera is not a standalone. Had it been a standalone, it wouldn't be Hayu Tmarasa Kodesh. At which part, I'm not going to get back to that, whether it's the Loyachli Pena part or the Loyamir part. I mean, you didn't accomplish, you didn't do it. Or, if it's Loyamir, or you were able to do it. So obviously there is an element of proper Hekdesh involved here. Right? In that sense, it's Nita Klase. But then when the Gemara says, no, there are two Lavin. So maybe a way to interpret would be, not that whenever you have two Lavin, you don't say Lavin Nita Klase. But Loyach Lifena V'Loyamir, what looks like Nita Klase in V'Hoyu T'Mrasa Yakodesh, maybe is related only to one. Again, which one? Loyach Lifena V'Loyamir depends on what we've been discussing. But in Achanami, there is still Malkus because it's still a Maisa Veira. The Hoyu Tmarasa Kodesh is just a Nituk on one. But on the other one, it really is a Maisa Veira. There are two things happening here. And in similar vein, I don't know if the Rama meant this. And then, of course, if that's the case, then. But in a regular case, we have a regular Lavin Nita Klas saying there happened to be two Lavin. Is there such a rule as the Gemara in Tmura? Maybe not. In similar vein, the Ram had an alternative, and that is lav she'enu shave la'ase. Right, the Ram says tzibor and shutfim are a situation where there is no hu t'marasu yakod, there's no ase, and yet you have the lav. So is there such a rule? Is there number one, the Rashi, the Gemara in Tmura, can be understood differently. That doesn't refer to that. That's how Rambam understood it. Gemara da Beis on Beis in Tmura. Again, some of the Achronim raise the question: is it really true that we, whenever you have a lav and nitak lase, where the ase and the lav are not shavim legamri, that you won't apply lav and nitak lase even where they overlap? Is that really true? So the Mishnah Melech discusses this question in Hilchos Malva Velova and Hashava Sa'avut, and Achronim in other places too discuss this question. Is it really true? The point may be that instead of being a general rule, maybe this has to do again with the specific dynamic of Tmura as we've been discussing it. And we're trying to figure out what are the parameters of Loyach Kepenu V'Loyamir, both on the Hakadosha side and on the eradication of the Kedusha side. So the role of Ahayu Tmaraso Yakodesh, and the fact that there can be the lab without the assay is indicative that maybe the Mechayev, at least one Mechayev that's still left standing, is the Maisa Aveira. After all, you can have a lav without the assay. If you can have a lav without the assay, then that proves that the lav is a standalone Maisa Veira. What I'm saying is, instead of viewing these as general klalim, maybe the struggle here is just really to figure out what the nature of the Iser of Tmura, what the nature of the Iser of Tmura really is. Okay. So we're going to leave it. Oh, I just wanted to put one other horror that people made to me last time, and that is, again, those who were here last year. So we discussed in the beginning of the year last year the relationship Lo Sigzol and Lo Sachmo, right? Bali Tosis of Amitzia and Daf Hamad Aleph. say, you know, lav or alav b'shnayim. They're really the same. They both caught a case of gezel without b'dyoiv dami, but it's lav or alav b'shnayim. Then we talked about Rava in Bava Metzia of Kufir Aleph and Samach Aleph, right? Oshek and gezel, or kovesh schar sachir, lav or alav b'shnayim. So, very interesting to ask the question, especially about, you know, gezel and losach, or what about lav and nitra klasei in those cases? That there are two lavin. So I think, again, it very much depends on, I was making the argument last year that, you know, even if losachmod and losigzol are lav or l'bishnei lavin, but, you know, that's just means that when you have one, you have the other. And at least in one direction. I'm not even sure if it's in both directions. But the mechayvim are totally different. Right? And the same may very well be true with Lo Sashok and Lo Sigzal. Again, those were here last year. We discussed the Rashbats and other people. We won't go into all the details. But the point is, we shouldn't be shocked if the rule, but Lavanita Klasei definitely applies to Gezel, the Heshav Sagzela Shagazal. What about the fact that there's also Oshek, or there's also Lo Sachmot? So again, this would work very nicely according to the perspective that, just like in Bali Roy, you don't have that idea, maybe, according to the Rambam. Namely, or according to the Gemara Pesachim, I should say. Namely, that when you're dealing with different mechayvim, this rule doesn't apply, and especially if there are different, if there are nafkamina between the mechayvim. Okay, we'll stop here. Thursday, let me give you a couple of makoros very quickly. And Thursday, let's do the neder sugya as quickly as we can. Let's also look at just on Chul Shnaso Al Taras HaKodesh. Look up the Rambam. Again, I'm not going to spend much time on it because it's a little bit far afield. But look at the Rambam. And look at the Ramban here. Okay. Also look at the Tosas here. Tosas asks the question of... Tosas asks the question of Safek Tumba Bershus HaRamin Bershus HaYachid. Look at the Ramban on that here as well. Also the Ramban and Taurus HaKodesh generally. And Tosas and Psachim Daf Tesam and Aleph Dibramas and Imtim Salomar. Maybe I'll give you a few other things, but look at the Ramban, the Raivin and the Chostumas Meis. I think it's Hey Yud Gimel. Just look at the Ramban Shita in general. What is Chun Shinas Al Taurus HaKodesh? Is it about Achila? Is it about counting the level of Tumah V'Tahara? What kind of halacha is that? That quickly. Then in terms of Cherev Harev Kechalol, look at the local, look at Tosis in the beginning of, let's put it this way, look at the Ramban al HaTorah, of course, the famous Ramban al HaTorah and Cherev Harev Kechalol, Parshas Chukas, the Rambam and Nosa Kalim, the Rambam and the Ravid and Nosa Kalim, Rashi and Tosis and Chulin, Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, Tosis in the very beginning of Bava Kama, when Tosis talks about Toldosem Kiyotza Behans, Tosis asks, what about Cherev Areu Kachalo? And two other makoros, just quickly. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Aleph, Rashi and the Meiri there, Rashi and the Meiri, and Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph in Shabbos. And the Rash in Ahalos, this is pretty well known, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, in the name of the Rimi Simpont. Okay, you'll see it. They're just the question of, we say Cherev Areu Kechalol, what does it apply? To what does it apply? Oel HaMeis, Tumas Masa, what do we mean when we say Cherev Areu Kechalol? Can it, you know, can it work as a Rishon, as a Sheni? How far do we go with the idea of Cherev Areu Kechalol? Okay, we'll try to move more quickly and get to the main topics next day or so. How